You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I've always really, really loved Boxing Day. Always really loved Boxing Day. I think part of the reason is because as a pastor's kid, I would always go to church every Christmas day. And the reality is this, is that back in those days, the pastor and the pastor's family were the first in to set up and the last to leave. And so usually what would happen is this, is we would get to church for a Christmas Day service and all my friends had opened their presents, but Mum was very clear that we couldn't do it until after church on Christmas Day. The problem with this is that by the time we got home, it was always pretty late. In fact, it was lunchtime. And even though Mum promised, she said, okay, we will open the presents between the Christmas service and lunch. Invariably, Dad or Mum would stay talking for ages. And by the time we got home, lunch was ready. So we wouldn't be opening Christmas presents until like 2 o'clock on a Christmas Day. How many of you know that's wrong? Come on, how many of you know that's wrong? Now, I'm looking for sympathy and empathy. How many of you know that's wrong? And, Christmas afternoon would come. I loved Boxing Day because Boxing Day was the day of pure, unadulterated play. Playing with my friends in the street, playing with whatever was in the stocking, playing with whatever toys I got to open on Christmas Day. Boxing Day. Boxing Day, what an interesting thing. What an interesting name, Boxing Day. The whole idea of Boxing Day gets some of its roots and its origins from a Boxing Day Christmas carol. And the Boxing Day Christmas carol is about good King Wenceslas. Good King Wenceslas last looked down on the feast of Stephen. The feast of Stephen is the 26th of December, and it is the day that the church world celebrates the martyr Stephen, Saint Stephen. King Wenceslas, he was a king in Bohemia in the 10th century, and the story goes that one day he is out with one of his servants, and he sees a poor man struggling in the snow to find firewood in order to heat the house to keep his small family warm. The carol of Good King Wenceslas is all about the king who risked life and limb, who went out at his own peril to look after the poor man and the poor man's family. In fact, one of the last verses in the Christmas carol goes like this: therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. In fact, much of our tradition to do with Boxing Day and even the naming of Boxing Day comes from the story of Good King Wenceslas and the fact that he was prepared to go out of his way to help the poor. Now, there are many schools of thought as to why December the 26th is called Boxing Day. Many reasons that go back to King Wenceslas, go back to the Middle Ages, but probably the strongest evidence that we have for the naming of Boxing Day goes back to the Victorians in England. You see, back in the days of the Downton Abbey and Chatsworth House, the servants would wait on the masters on Christmas Day, but the very next day, the masters would give the servants the day off, and the servants would be able to go and spend that day, if you like, that was their Christmas, with their family and their friends. But before the servants left the master's house, the master would always give them a box. Always give them a box. Oops. And in the box, there would be various things. The first thing that they would find in the box was some food and drink. Anybody love mince pies? Some people say Christmas starts for them in Audacious Church when Jenny sings Oh Holy Night. Not for me. Christmas starts for me when I eat my first mince pie. Second week of November. Or whenever else I can find a mince pie in Asda. What the servants would receive is they would receive a box, and in the box there would be food and drink. The kindness of a master who would help those who were less favored, less wealthy, had less stuff, and show kindness. In the same way good King Venceslas showed kindness back in the 10th century, the master would show kindness through food and drink. I love this because, you know, the reality is this, is that on this Boxing Day and this story of food and drink from the boxers and good King Venceslas's kindness, I'm reminded of what Jesus says in John chapter 6. He says this, he says, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, if you come to me, you will no longer be hungry. And if you're thirsty, I will give you something to drink and you will never thirst again. That's a pretty bold statement. Jesus saying, I'm going to make you so full that you won't be hungry again. Can you think back less than 24 hours after your Christmas lunch? What did you say at the end of Christmas lunch? Probably words like this, I will never eat again. I am so full. You go upstairs and take off your jeans, you put on your most expansive pajama trousers. Maybe if you're a lady here and you have some pregnancy pajamas that you used to wear when you were pregnant, you pull them out. Or maybe husbands, you borrow your wife's pregnancy pajamas because, you know, I'm never going to eat again. Jesus says, I'm going to feed you with something that will cause you to never be hungry again. And of course, Jesus is not speaking about food, is he? And he's not speaking about drink. He's talking about the fact that when we receive Jesus into our life, he gives us something that nothing can compare. In fact, what Jesus says to us on this Boxing Day is this. He says, I am more than enough for you. Oh, we go in searching, don't we? Humankind, we go in searching of a better job, of maybe more money, of climbing the corporate ladder, of moving a house, a different relationship, a different spouse, a different opportunities, because we're constantly trying to fill a void. Will the next thing fill me up? Will the next thing fill me up? Will the next thing fill me up? And we all know people, don't we, who oscillate between extremes because there's this searching and seeking for something to fill them up. But Jesus says, come to me. You won't need anything more. Because in me, he says, you'll find life and life to the full. Definitely in the box on Boxing Day, they would get food and drink. Something else they would get as well is that the servants would receive money. Maybe just a few shillings, pounds, pence, or whatever it is back in the day. But they would receive some coins. And with these coins, the master was saying to the servant, go and bless your family with the money. Let me speak to the adults for a second. Do you remember what it was like when money wasn't all that important in your world? Do you remember what it was like when you weren't sacrificing health, mental health, emotions in order to get money? Do you remember what it was like when money just didn't really mean anything? Like when I was a little boy born here in Manchester and my mum would take me every week down to Ashton Markets where I used to live, and she'd push me in my stroller. And on the way down, my mum would give me a coin. And she would say to me, Glenn, with this coin, you have a choice. You can keep it. You can buy a small bag of sweets. Or you can go on one of the little rides. But the choice is yours. And even at an early age, I was beginning to understand how money works, etc. But I love this because what money does is this, is money gives you a confidence. That when you know you have money, it's amazing that when you have money, when you have like £2, it's amazing because it gives you confidence, doesn't it? It gives you confidence to actually, what are you wearing? Stand up for me for a second. Turn around. Look, he's come dressed as a clown. Look at him. Yep, sorry, I'm just going to get out of here. I'll come back in a second. It gives you confidence. You know that with the money that you have the ability to do something. And even though money's important for paying the bills, money's important to keep dressing like a clown each week, money's important for the heating and the lighting and things like that, Jesus says this, money's not the most important thing. What the Bible says is this, is that faith is the most important thing. Faith before money. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says in Matthew 9, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And then the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. What a beautiful verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own ability. Lean not on your ability to make money and keep money and spend money. Don't trust on that. But trust in the Lord. Because here's the thing, friends. If you, and all you ever do is lean on your ability to make money and keep money, if all you do is trust in your own ability to climb the corporate ladder and to secure that job and have that long-term job, what happens when you're leaning, you begin to fall? Do you remember that in school? I need a chair. Just quickly bring me up a chair. It's connected, isn't it? Wow, just pull it. There we go. Come on, champion. Yes. See, I love this next generation. They're awesome, aren't they? Pastor Paul, on the other hand, struggling. Lean not on your own understanding. Do you remember in school when you used to lean on the chair? Was there anything as scary as in that class with that teacher? For me, his name was Mr. Henman. Mr. Henman really didn't like me. He used to say things to me like this, Glenn, pull your head in, they'll think it's a cattle truck. He used to say to me things like, Glenn, if I want your opinion, I'll rattle a cage. I remember in grade 5 when Mr. Henman threw a child out an open window. I remember. Obviously, it can't happen these days. But that moment when you're in physics or you're in maths, you're in a science class with a teacher who's the angry teacher, and that moment happens. Remember that moment happens when remember that moment where you're on two legs? And do you remember how often the teacher used to say, there are four legs on the chair, not two. Gosh. And then there comes that moment, that heart-stopping moment, where you have leant too far on your chair. And it's over, Red Rover. I remember once falling over in maths, leaning back too far, having been told 100 times not to lean on my chair. And as I fell, I kicked the table in front of me. The table in front of me, my table, flipped over. I fell against the back wall. I got detention. But what I've discovered is this, is that when you lean, you always, if you fall, lean the way you fall. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own abilities. Don't lean in your own confidence, but lean into the Lord, because then, friends, at least if you fall where you go. I'm falling into the Lord. What a wonderful thought that is. And it goes on, it says this, trust not in your own understanding, lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. My job, acknowledge Him. Your job, acknowledge Him. 2022, what do you need to do in the morning? Acknowledge God. What do we do with our finances and our tithes and offerings? We're acknowledging God. What are we doing in our kindness and acts of kindness and generosity? We're acknowledging God. We're actually carrying with us the spirit of Boxing Day. The spirit of the gospel, the coming of Jesus Christ. Goodwill to all mankind. So don't lean in your own understanding. Lean into God. I got to finish, because there were three things that you would find in the box, at least three things, food and drink, you'd find money, and you'd find toys. There were always toys in the box on Boxing Day. I haven't used a yo-yo for years. Can I walk the dog, somebody said? Let's have a look.
Ooh. Let's try that again, shall we?
Do this, do the. Okay, he's getting cocky now. Let's see if I can rock the baby. Close. Close. Where's Liberty? Where's Liberty? I promised I'd give her this. Where is she? Where is she? Come here. Toys, food and drink, money, toys. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. Sounds like toys to me. Life and life to the full. Isn't it amazing how the devil's PR company are doing such a good job at trying to paint an image of God that says he's boring and he's irrelevant and he's not interested and he's dead. But Jesus says, no, 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 I've come, you might have life and life to the full. I love this. Probably one of my favorite memories from Christmas was when I would wake up Christmas morning all excited. Somehow the stocking got to the end of my bed. Thanks, Santa. And we would open the stockings with our parents. And then my favorite memory is the moment where you open the door into the lounge. Remember that as a kid? Maybe you had that memory too. Open the door and you see the tree and you see the presence. You open the door into something. You ever imagined what life would be like with no doors? Doors that keep people out, doors that let people in, doors that keep the weather out, door that brings in fresh air. What would it be like living a life with no doors? Maybe what you should do is, if you want to answer that question, go out with our A-teams and join the Audacious Foundation as we work with the homeless, people who have no doors. Doors are significant things because doors welcome things and keep things out. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. He says the thief has come to rob you, to kill, to steal, to destroy, but I've come that you might have life to the full, John 10:10. Four verses before that, Jesus says this, I am the door. And what he's saying here is this, on this Boxing Day, he says, hey friends, if you open the door to me, then I will come into your life in a way that you can experience abundant life. Now, let me correct people on this. Abundant life does not mean more stuff. Because the more stuff you have, the more you fear the thief and the robber. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy our stuff. But I am the door, and I've come to give you life and life to the full. So abundant life is not stuff. Abundant life is everything that our soul needs. And what does our soul need? Our soul, it needs something different. It needs deep down joy and satisfaction and peace. And did you know something? Happiness comes from what happens. Joy is something that the one who opens the door to abundant life gives deep down in your soul. And that's why, my friends, the Apostle Paul, he can say, I've learned to be content in every situation, whether well-clothed or naked, well-fed or hungry. I know what it is to abound in all situations. Why? Because abundant life is not found in stuff, in things. It's found in who you open the door to. Let me say this to all of our campuses watching, to everybody in Cardiff, in Sheffield, in North Manchester, in South Manchester, to all of our wonderful church family in Geneva, in Switzerland. I want to say to everybody in this room, be careful what you open the door to this year. in 2022, make a deliberate, conscious decision. I'm going to keep the door closed to worry. I'm going to keep the door closed to fear. I'm going to keep the door closed to anxiety. I'm going to keep the door closed. But what I am going to do is I am going to open the door that the King of Glory may come in. Come on in, Jesus. Come on into my life. Come and make a difference in my world. Make a difference in my life. So here's where I finish. What would it look like this Boxing Day? What would it look like for us to do what good King Wenceslas did in the 10th century in Bohemia? What would it look like for us in this Boxing Day to do what the masters did to their servants? What would it look like for us to actually pay forward the goodness and the kindness of God to us this Christmas season? Friends, I got a feeling that if over this Christmas New Year season, as we look around to the people in our street, the people in our world who are hurting, who are broken, who are vulnerable, that maybe if we help them to see that there is a door to abundant life, then maybe our family, our city, our friends, our work colleagues, our teammates, the people in our world, they too could see that there is one who said, "I am the bread. You come to me, I'll feed you in such a way you'll never be hungry, you'll never be thirsty." That maybe our friends in their lives would understand that money's not the most important thing, but the most important thing is faith. To trust God. To lean not on my own ability, but all I have to do is acknowledge Him. So this year, I'm going to acknowledge Him in my social media. I'm going to acknowledge Him in my life. I'm going to acknowledge Him in my family. I'm going to acknowledge Him in everything. And what would it look like this year if we opened a door for people so that they could encounter Jesus in the way we have? I think we would see revival. So what's Boxing Day about? It's about showing kindness. It's about showing love. It's about being bringers of peace and kindness. And let's make a decision this Boxing Day to pay it forward, that which God has given to us, so that our world that's hurting and in need can see the goodness of Jesus this Christmas season.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.